do today is we are going to continue in our series, We Are the Church, where we're going to look at what does it mean that you and I, that we are the church. And Pastor Stovall said something last weekend, he's been saying it a few times, and honestly, I'd never thought of it the way that he said it. Pastor Stovall said, you know the church is God's plan A. And I had never thought about that. I had never thought about that we as the church are God's plan A. And how many of you know that plan A is your masterpiece? Plan A is what you put all your work into. Plan A is what you spend all your time on. Plan A is what you work the hardest on. So because it is God's plan A, it is God's masterpiece. But the church isn't this building. The church isn't the chairs. The church isn't the lights. The church isn't the new land, the new building that we're building. Praise His name. The church is you and I. We're the church. Every one of us sitting in this room, we are the church. And so because you are the church, you are God's plan A. And because you are God's plan A, you are God's masterpiece. And so what I want to talk about this morning is the fact that you and I, every one of us in this room, that we are God's masterpiece. That there is not one of you in here that is not a masterpiece of God. And I know that for so many of us, man, even when we hear that, or even when we hear someone say that to us, that we don't feel that way. That we forget, or that we think, well, maybe, you know, someone else in this room's a masterpiece, or the person in front of me, or the person behind me, or the person sitting next to me, they're a masterpiece, or maybe no one in this room is even a masterpiece. You know, when you go and you stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, now that's a masterpiece. Or when you're out in the ocean and you look and you see nothing but miles of ocean, now that's a masterpiece. Or you go and you look at things from outer space and you say, that's a masterpiece. And I think that for so many of us, we have such a hard time realizing the masterpiece that God has created us to be, but we have no problem at all looking at the other things that God has spoken into existence and saying, now that's a masterpiece. So what I want to do for a few minutes is I want to set up for you how much of a masterpiece you are. Now, if you've been around church for a while, you've seen these pictures. There's some pictures from the Hubble telescope. Louis Giglio preached this sermon a while back. I just want to show you a few pictures. And what we're going to do is we're going to compare. I want you to think about this the entire time. We're going to compare some things that God spoke into existence, but remembering that He made you with His hands. That He took the time to knit you together in your mother's womb fearfully and wonderfully. You are His plan A. You are His masterpiece. These things we're getting ready to see, He just spoke them into existence. And we're going to compare a couple of facts about some things and then you. So if you would put this first picture up, and if Jeff, if you would do like Bob Marley says and turn your lights down low real quick for me. I just want to show you these pictures. We're going to feel the mood. Everybody feel it's like we're going into outer space right now with Jeff turning down the lights. Still turning them down, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Ladies, watch your purses. I'm just playing. This first picture is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. Now, this is the galaxy that you and I live in, okay? Scientists say that there are hundreds of thousands of other galaxies out there. They say that our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, has over 200 billion stars in it. If we were to count one star per second, it would take us 2,500 years. To count the stars just in our galaxy. And this is something that came out of the mouth of God when He said, let there be light. And when light came traveling out the mouth of God and galaxies and universes and all of this stuff, it came out the mouth of God going 186,000 miles per second because that's how fast light travels. And so we have to remember this because this next picture that we're going to look at right here is a picture of the Pleiades. The Pleiades is 440 light years away. Now, a light year doesn't mean anything unless you know how far that is. So light travels 186,000 miles per second. Light in 1 year travels 5.88 trillion miles. So you go 5.88 trillion miles for 440 years, and this is what you come to. And these are the things that God spoke into existence. That God said, let there be light. And when He placed the stars, that these were the things that are out there. And I put this in here for two different reasons. The first one is because it's mentioned in Scripture. If you read the book of Job, Job had it very bad. Job had it probably worse than any of us have ever had it in our entire lives. In one day, Job loses everything. His land, his farm, his family, everything is killed. And then on top of that, Job's body gets covered in sores. And so then the whole chapter, the whole book of Job, Job is basically crying out to God. God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you allow this to happen? God, how could you? How could you? Why, God? Why, God? God, I can't believe that you, God, did you? Why? Why? And at the end of the book, God responds to Job. And the question that he asks, one of the questions that he asks, is, Job, can you hold the Pleiades in your hand? And Job says, no, God, I can't. And God says, well, how could you possibly understand what it is that I'm doing? Basically, God was telling Job, Job, I'm so much bigger than you. Job, I know so much more than you. Remember that. The other reason I put it up there is because I have a massive tattoo of the Pleiades on my arm, much to the chagrin of my parents sitting in the middle section. You could have just read the Bible, is all my parents were thinking. This next picture right here is a picture of the Sombrero Galaxy. This is 28 million light years away. You go 5.88 trillion miles for 28 million years, and this is what you come to. Remember this. This stuff is ridiculous, and this is amazing, and you can go to the hubblesite.org and look at more of these pictures, and you will look at them, and you will be like, your mind just, you're like, what the heck? Like, how is that out there? He spoke it into existence. He just spoke it into existence. But with each and every one of you in this room, that God took the time to put you together with his hands. And I think it's so easy for us to look at those pictures and say, God, that's a masterpiece. Man, our God is so amazing. Our God is so unbelievably awesome because he's able to speak that into existence. And we forget to look at ourselves. And so I want to tell you a few things about you. This picture right here is a close-up of the human eye. Your eye is the most complex computer that there is. It is unreplicatable by science. You are distinguishing every millisecond, light, dark, height, depth, width, size, shape, color. Think about that. I mean, all of you can see right now my fly patent leather boat shoes. Pastor Stovall, take note. I'm still the fashion king. So you're doing that every millisecond. Hold on, let me get that thing back on. It's like plastic. It's like wearing plastic on my feet. You also, listen to this, you also have 1 million optic nerves that go from your brain to your eye, and they have to match perfectly or you don't see. And when I say perfectly, one has to match with one. 210,412 has to match with 210,412. 316,410 has to match with 316,410. Or you don't see. You are a masterpiece that has been made by the very hand of the living God. Every one of you in this room. Listen to this. You have 75 trillion cells in your body. You have 375 times the amount of cells in your body that the Milky Way has stars. 375 times. Each one of those cells, the simple cell that we learned in school, has 50 billion atoms. Each atom has hundreds of thousands of proteins. Each protein has hundreds of thousands of amino acids. If one thing is wrong, that cell dies. You are a masterpiece. You have 25 trillion red blood cells. They take oxygen from your lungs to the rest of your body. They live for 120 days. You have 25 billion white blood cells. They're what fight off infection in your body. They live for 12 hours. So since dinner last night, you have made 25 billion new white blood cells. In each one of your cells is your genetic code. Listen to this. This is what blows my mind. There will never be another you. In the history of the world, in the future, in the past, there is only one you. There will only ever be one you. There is you, and that's it. That's it. And each one of your cells is your specific genetic code. If you were to take one of your cells and unravel that genetic code that's inside of you, it would be 6 feet long. Now, if you were to take the 75 trillion cells that you have in your body and you were to line that 6 feet up, you have enough of you in you to go to the moon and back 20,000 times. You are a masterpiece that is made by the very hand of the living God. You have 75,000 miles of blood vessels, arteries, and capillaries in your body. You are a masterpiece. Yes, God has spoken some amazing things into existence, and God has done some absolutely awesome things, but nothing is as awesome as the way that He has created each and every one of you in this room. And here's the best part. You're not a masterpiece that's meant to just hang on a wall. You're not a masterpiece that you're supposed to go to a museum or whatever and look at it and say, oh, that's great. Look at that. That's beautiful. It's a masterpiece. And then move on. You are a masterpiece that has been saved for the master's purposes. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. None of us can take credit for our salvation because it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. God has planned some good things for you long ago. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because you are the church, you are God's masterpiece. And what I want us to do real quick is I want us to look at three things that apply to us because we are God's masterpiece. But before we get into that, will you guys please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You first and foremost for Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank You that we are able to be Your masterpiece, God, because of what He did on the cross. And apart from Jesus, God, we are nothing. God, I pray that in these next few moments, God, that You would speak to our hearts, that You would open our ears and soften our hearts, God, to the beauty of Your Holy Spirit, God, and that You would let each and every one of us know, God, that it doesn't matter who we were or where we've been, but God, that we are Your masterpiece and it's all about where we're going. God, I pray that You would use this time to draw us closer to You. In Your Son's holy name, amen. The first thought that I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, and we just said it, you are created for the master's purpose. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. This is the best part. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. So all the days of your life, God knows about. They were written in His book before one of them came to be. So because God knew about that, God has chosen you. You are chosen for this moment. Like, and this is what gets me, is I think about this with my own life, and I think about this where I am and my family and all these things. Out of all of time, out of all of history, out of the past, present, and future, God has decided that it is best for you to be on this earth right now serving His purposes. That God could have had you born at any time. God could have said, no, I'm going to need them in the future. But God has decided that He needs you in April of 2012. That God needs you now, that you were chosen by God for this moment. And let me just put this to you. This may be a little bit graphic, but this is true. If one of your dad's swimmers had gotten your mom pregnant, besides the one that did, you wouldn't be you. You would be somebody else. Think about that. Do you think that's chance? Like that your dad got your mom pregnant and God was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be that person. Like You were chosen. The sovereign God of the universe chose you. He picked you out of eternity and placed you into time because He's got a purpose and a call on your life that only you can fulfill. You were chosen. And so many of us, man, we don't believe that. And we don't believe that because we don't know our purpose. How could someone choose me when I don't even know myself what I've been made for? Why would someone choose me? I mean, I feel like I'm aimless. I feel like I don't know what's going on. I don't know the call of my life. Why would the sovereign God of the universe, who knows the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega, knows everything, why would he choose me? Because God knows your purpose. God knows your plan. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this thought down. When you don't know the purpose of a thing, all you can do is abuse that thing. When you don't know the purpose of a thing, all you can do is abuse that thing. Let me explain it to you this way. I played baseball growing up. I wasn't very good. I've always been about the size of a stick. And so my mom was awesome. She did our laundry, and she would clean it and fold it, and she'd come and she'd put it on my bed and say, hey, you know, put your laundry up. As a male baseball player, there is a certain piece of equipment that you wear to protect yourself. And so my mom, being very gracious, she would do my laundry. She would watch my jock and my cup. And so I had a friend coming over to my house. Her name was Katie White. And Katie was coming over. My mom came in. I was sitting in my moon chair watching TV. I don't know if you guys remember this. I remember this. And my mom comes in. She's like, here's your baseball uniform. Your jock and your cup are on top. Make sure that you put it up before Katie gets here. And I'm like, no worries, Mom. And so I go back to sit in my chair. And much like every high schooler, I didn't listen to anything my mom said. And I'm like, well, my parents will come and get me when Katie gets here, because girls weren't allowed in my bedroom because they couldn't handle it. You know what I'm saying? That's not true. I tell myself that to make myself feel better. So, but girls really weren't allowed in my room. And I'm like, well, my parents will come get me before Katie gets here. And then when she leaves, I'll put all the stuff up. So I'm sitting there watching TV and I hear something. And I turn and Katie's standing at the end of my bed. And I'm like, hey, Katie, what's up? And I stand up to talk to her, and I'm like, hey, what's been going on? And you know that moment when you see something that you don't want anyone else to see? I have now entered into that moment. And to my left, I see my cup and my jock, like, sitting there. And I'm like trying to be like, hey, Katie, why don't we go outside and watch some TV with my dad? The only time ever that a high school boy will be like, hey, let's get out of my bedroom and go see what my parents are doing. So I'm like, hey, Katie, let's go see what my parents are doing. And she's like, okay. And as I think I'm about to be victorious, Katie goes, hey, what's this? No. And she reaches down and she grabs my cup. And I'm like, Katie, you have leprosy now. Put that down. And so She doesn't put it down, and I begin to explain to her, hey, Katie, you know, you might want to put that down. She goes, oh, I know what this is for, and she takes it, and she holds it over her face, and she does this. She does this. She goes, Luke, I am your father. I had two thoughts in that moment. One, my first thought, I was never going to make out with Katie after that moment right there. The second thought I had was, Katie doesn't know the purpose of that thing. And so because Katie doesn't know the purpose of that thing, all she can do is abuse it. A lot of you are God's masterpiece. And because you don't, listen to me, stay with me, because you don't know the purpose that you are, the purpose that you have, all you can do is abuse the masterpiece that you are. My prayer is for you today, is that at the end of this service, when we open this altar and we take communion and offering, that you would come to this altar and you would get into the presence of your Savior that can tell you your purpose. Because that's the only place you're going to find it. You can read every self-help book known to man. You can watch more Dr. Phil than any other human that's ever existed. You will never know your purpose. And when you don't know your purpose, you will abuse the masterpiece that you are. Amen? The second thought is this, if you're taking notes, you have everything you need to do everything God wants you to do. You have everything you need to do everything God wants you to do. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. The purposes of God on your life, God has given you everything that you need to fulfill that. There is not one of you in here that lacks anything. And you know what the problem is? Is that we live in a world that's always telling us that we lack something. That you're not good enough. That you're not fit enough. That you're not smart enough. That you're not talented enough. That you don't have enough capabilities. That you're not wise enough. That you don't look pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not muscular enough. You're not something enough. And so it is ingrained in us that we lack something. Whereas the God of the universe, who formed you in utter seclusion, who knit you together, is saying, don't believe that garbage. I know what I've given you. I know the talents you have. I know the gifts you have. There is not one of you in here that lacks anything to fulfill the call of God on your life. There is not one of you that lacks anything to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. And listen to me when I say this. I say this with a special needs daughter at home who can't walk and who can't speak. And I know that she has everything that she needs to fulfill the purposes of God on her life. This isn't something that I preach and then tell my children something different. You have everything, listen to me, everything that you need to fulfill the purposes of God on your life. What happens, though, is so many of us, we have this thing I like to call masterpiece envy, where we look at the masterpiece of someone else and we forsake the call of God on our life to try to pick someone else's masterpiece up. That we see someone else's gifts, we see someone else's talents, and we say, I want to be able to do that. I want to have that gift. I want to have that ability. I want to be able to do this. While the entire time we forsake the call of God upon our own lives. Listen, I love music. I love singing. I love playing guitar. I used to be a worship leader here at Celebration Church for the students. They wept and it was awful. It was bad. Let me tell you why. Because God hasn't created me to do that. God has created me to preach and to teach and to be a leader in this, in whatever area he's placed me in. Now, what would it look like if I was to forsake the call of God on my life to go after something that he never intended for me to do in the first place? We live in a world that we think it's all about the gifts. That if I get this gift, if I have this talent, if I can be up here like Dougie playing guitar with my toms on and looking good, that everything will be okay and I'll feel fulfilled. I can tell you what, if Dougie tried to do anything else for the rest of his life and he would be successful at it, that he would still be unfulfilled, because the only thing that will fulfill you is seeking the giver instead of the gifts. And so what we've got to do is we have got to quit trying to be somebody else. And we have got to just start worrying about who God has called us to be and seek the giver and know that the gifts will never fulfill us. It's the giver. And there's some of you in here, man, that you have been seeking gifts for so long. Well, I want to be a preacher. Well, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a businessman. I want to be a stay-at-home. I want to be. And you're trying to do things that God never intended you to do in the first place. I pray that today, once again, at the end of this service, that you would come to this altar and you would get real with God and you would say, God, I've been seeking gifts. And you would get real with yourself. God, I have been seeking gifts. God, I've been thinking that you made me lacking. God, that you didn't make me like everybody else. God, that you maybe did some other stuff and some people, but God, you left a couple of key ingredients out with me. And allow God to begin to show you what he has called you, created you, purposed you, and planned you for. Because remember, you are God's masterpiece. You don't screw up on a masterpiece. You spend all your time, you think through the masterpiece. You think through all the gifts, you think through all the talents, you think through all their looks, you think through everything. You are God's masterpiece. You don't lack anything. And I don't care what anyone has ever said to you. I'm telling you, you lack nothing. And that's not from some skinny jean wearing bald-headed dude in patent leather shoes. That's from the sovereign God of the universe, who made you, who created you, and who put you together. Amen? The third and final thought is this. God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. God works all things together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purposes. What I love about that scripture is it doesn't say that God works all good things together for good. It says that God works all things together for good. And I know that just by the sheer size of this crowd in here, that there are a lot of us in here that we've lived through some hard stuff. That there's been, I'm not going to go through the list, but there's been bad things. Whether it was done to you, whether you've made mistakes, whether it's just the result of us living in a fallen and sinful, broken world, whatever it is, that there have been pain and there has been hurt and there has been problems in our lives. God's promise to us is that when we love Him and we are called according to His purpose, that He will take all of that stuff, everything that you didn't think God could do anything with, and that He would use it to bring about the purposes in your life, His purposes in your life. Listen to me. Never did I ever think in my life that I would stand up on a stage weekly and tell people how I had sex out of wedlock and had a child unmarried, and that God would use it to now allow me and my wife to minister to people that get pregnant out of marriage. Never in my life did I think that having a special needs daughter would help shape me and mold me to be the man that God is calling me to be. But see, the thing is I love God. What that means for some of you in here is I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and then my family and myself, we are called according to the purposes of God. The Turner family is all about the purposes of God on this earth. Let me tell you what the purposes of God are: furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the purposes of God on this earth. So here's the promise of God for everyone in this room. For everyone in this room, for everyone listening at Orange Park, for everyone listening online, when you love God, when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, and you are called according to God's purposes, He will take all the junk in your past, all the hurt, all the pain, all the brokenness, and He will use it for good in your life. He will use it to bring about His purposes in your life. And for a lot of you, that looks very different today. For some of you, it's coming to this altar, and you've been holding on to some things. You may be saved, and you may be about the purposes of God, but you've been holding on to some stuff. God can't take it from you when your hands are already closed. And so for some of you, it looks like you come into this altar and say, God, you know I love you. You know your Son's my Savior. And God, you know that I'm all about witnessing and spreading the gospel, but God, I need you to take this from me. And God, I need you to use this for good in my life. For some of you, it's going to look like you're going to need to forgive some people. Listen, my wife and I, we got some hard news about our daughter last week, or I don't know what day it is now. Yeah, Friday. That she's going to maybe have to have a back surgery. And that she would have to have a back surgery every 6 months. And then after that, they would have to fuse her spine when she quit growing. And then that would take away her mobility. As a father, I got that Friday. What do you do with that? Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. It was me in the car driving going, God, like, seriously? I can't tell you everything I said between me and God, because it would not be biblical or appropriate for a church. But there was a real moment of me and God saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do with this. God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. God, I don't know. God, I don't know. God, I don't know. And it was a lot of me screaming and crying in the car. If you had passed me driving, you would have thought it was over for whoever came up beside me. But here's what I know. That God is still bigger than anything that I face. And that as long as I love Him and I have been called according to His purposes, God is going to take the hard things in my life that I walk through, and He's going to use them to bring about His purposes in my life. And the same thing goes for every one of you in this room. And for some of you, it's coming to this altar today. And it's finding out your purpose from the one that made you. For some of you in here, it's coming to this altar as we respond, in emptying your full hands of the burdens and the struggles and the hurts that you've been trying to carry on your own. And for the rest of you in here, it's giving your life to Jesus Christ. Because I don't care how many people you spread the gospel to, if Jesus Christ hasn't saved you, you're walking through all that stuff by yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.